This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, New Year.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
New York City. We're doing a live show on Tuesday, October 5th. That's very soon. We're doing it at Caveat in New York City. Doors are at 6:30, show's at 7 p.m. I don't know why I needed to tell you that. You can get more information at tcgte.com/live. But guess what? If you're not in New York City, or if you're in New York City and you don't want to like go to the show, you can buy a live stream ticket and watch it live on the internet. So, hey, dealer's choice. Do what you want. Tuesday, October 5th. Caveat in New York City. tcgte.com/live.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, my back itches.
Okay, well, that's better than it hurting.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we're both old shits.
And, I mean, one of us is in his 40s.
And one is still a young man in his 30s.
Spry.
You remember when we were in our 20s, how old being in your 30s was?
Yeah.
I remember when we like started knowing people who were in their 30s and it was like, ugh, gross. Get them away so we don't catch it.
Cut them out of our lives.
Yeah. They're not cool. They don't know about the new, the newest songs like Psy's Gundam Style.
Or, I don't know any songs from when I was in my 20s.
I think all the music I've listened to
has been in stuff I listened to when I was 16.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear your back is itchy.
Oh, I scratched it. It's okay now. Yeah.
It's one of those kinds of itches that you can just take care of with a quick scratch.
Exactly. You ever try just out of sheer testing your own willpower, you got an itch that you know you could just take care of with one quick scratch, and you're like, you know what? Let me see if I maybe don't have to scratch it. Will it go away?
Never have I done it where I haven't been in a situation where like I couldn't scratch it.
Right.
And then in those situations, it's absolute torture.
That's why I think You have to train for it.
This is like a Bruce Lee type mind over matter thing that you're training.
I think so. And I think what I've found is if you concentrate on the sensation,
mm-hmm.
and it might be different when you know you can't scratch it.
Yes.
If you concentrate on the sensation, it stops being unpleasant. You know what I mean? You just recognize it for a sensation.
Okay.
And you're just like, this is a feeling.
You sound like a guy who's going to start getting into weird stuff.
I know, right?
The thing is, pain, you see.
The thing is, I would be a guy that got into all sorts of weird stuff, except I have the attention span of a toddler. So like all the time, I'm like, ooh, I could really get into like essential oils. I could really be an essential oils
Tim,
guy.
We'll be talking about essential oils later in this episode.
Yeah, but I get bored with things too easily.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I get very obsessed with things for a short amount of time. And then it's like, boring. On to the next.
This got hard or unpleasant for a second.
On to the next itch I got to scratch.
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing about me, Tom, is that whenever I read, and we'll get to this, whenever I read about a scam, whenever I read about like, people want to think that you can cure your back pain with just this thing,
right?
But science has proven time and time again that that doesn't work. I always think, well, I got to try that. That might be the cure-all.
Well, I mean, often the thing with with those kinds of like solutions or like home remedies is like the barrier to entry is way lower. Where it's like, oh yeah, if you, you know, look up scientific research, like going to a chiropractor, you know, multiple times over a certain course is most likely going to fix you. But that's going to be a real pain in the ass. It's maybe going to cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But if it's like, oh, I should just eat orange peels, this blog says, or not even blog. They don't even have blogs anymore.
They got weird blogs still, Tom. Believe me.
This just says do this. So you're like, oh, what do I have to lose? Why not try it?
Well, what I will do is I'll go out and like buy a pound of oranges and be like, oh, it's the orange peel life for me. Like,
oh,
Then I'll do it once. And then the rest of the oranges will rot in my refrigerator and my wife will yell at me.
I often have that problem with like I'll watch a video or read something and fall down a rabbit hole. And then like the next day, like a box from Amazon full of pills will come. And my girlfriend will be like, what is it? It sounds like this box is all full of pills. I'll be like, oh, don't worry about that. And then I'll take that, you know, that like supplement or vitamin once and be like, what the hell? This didn't fix all my problems, turn me superhuman. This stuff's junk.
Yeah. The other thing, I do that too. And the other thing that makes me quit doing stuff like that, it's like, this doesn't work immediately. I'm going to have to do this for years to see any results. Like, this is how I feel about, like, working out or something, right? Yeah. I think things take a lot less. Like, if you do something consistently, I think to see effects of things, like, I either think it's either instantaneous or, like, you got to devote a decade. Yeah, exactly. Where really it's like, nah, just do something for like 3 or 4 weeks and your life will change.
Yeah, I've recently done that about like vitamins because, you know, like, and, you know, I'm sure we'll get emails about like, vitamins are a scam, taking vitamins. But I've never like, not never, but rarely like consistently taken vitamins. And it's only been in the past few months where I'm like, a freaking 3 month thing of vitamins costs like $7. Let me just take them every day. Why not? What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Well, I ended up in the hospital last night. Too many vitamins.
Yeah.
They said I was more vitamin than man.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive, though.
I mean, it's not nothing.
How are you doing this week, Tom?
Tim, I'm doing good. I have a question for you.
All right. Query.
How often should one get their car washed? And then I have a follow-up question about it.
Tom, I know some people that would say, why, you should get your car washed weekly if you have any dignity driving around in this thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to drive your girlfriend around in a dirty car?
Yeah, that's what somebody would say to me.
Yeah.
You're going to drive your girlfriend all around town in that dirty car?
Yeah, she deserves better. And then your girlfriend will be like,
yeah, and then all of a sudden I've got guys coming up in the street saying, oh, hey there, pretty lady. How would you like to be in a clean car?
You're making kissy noises at her?
And that, I mean, that's how I got her in the first place, was finding her in the street and making kissy noises at her. She's like, oh, all right.
Look, we're not supposed to say it, but it's an effective way. Hey, to pick
there's a reason why it's been around so long. It works.
I personally think it's when you park under a tree and your car gets caked with either bird shit or pollen to the point where the windshield wipers, even when you use the thing, the stuff gets like it turns into a slurry.
Yeah. Yeah. You just like can't really get it off.
Yeah.
That's what a double edged sword living in New York City and parking under a tree is. Because sometimes you really like that. You come back to your car a few days later and you're like, oh, my car's nice and cool because it was in the shade.
Who cares? You can cool a car down in 2 minutes. I'll tell you
who cares, Tim. Me, because I just had to buy a new attachment for my phone because the old one melted off the dashboard.
That's too hot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You should look into some sort of solution that will keep your car cool when you're not in it. Maybe get a generator and put that in and get some sort of air conditioning device.
I should get one of those pieces of cardboard with Garfield wearing sunglasses that I can put in the dashboard.
Hey, I mean, if that is a concern, yeah, you should do that.
I just remember that was like a big thing when we were kids.
Garfield in sunglasses?
No,
he was
just
everywhere.
Like,
T-shirts, no, greeting cards.
Putting like the big visor thing in your windshield to keep your car cool.
I think our car air conditioning systems became more efficient.
That makes sense. And that they used to just not be all that good.
Yeah. And also, I feel this might be just the economic class I'm in, Tom, and I'm sorry I'm not rich. But I feel like that was a big thing with like leather or like vinyl seats.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Where like, I don't know, I got cloth seats.
I
have velvet seats.
We never had, I don't know. Maybe we did have, I think we did have leather seats in the car. That makes sense. Yeah. And those, and
was there
they were like
that
scalding
was
hot.
Leather like, maybe not faux leather, but like.
There's Alcantara, but that's, what's I that? Think that's like a more modern thing. That's actually closer to like a velvet. It's like a soft fabric that they use in cars, but that like wears very well
what's
and
it
ages.
Called?
Alcantara.
Alcantara.
Yeah.
I went to high school with Alcantara. That. Alcantara.
We used to work with a guy named Alcantara. You can look into that.
Same
then.
Thing I said.
But I said it. You kind of mumbled
I
it.
I did.
So.
I said Alcantara, so that doesn't sound like a name anymore.
We can, you know, we can clean all that up in ADR after the fact. Now that you mention it, I think it was that we had leather seats.
Yeah.
And they would just get like burning hot. Because I also remember like my parents never using it except when we were at the beach. And I was like, yeah, I get it. Like the beach is hot, but like not any hotter to the car. Like the car is just
that,
as hot at home.
That is something I was going to bring that up. That you still see it a lot at the beach. It's
yeah.
Like, how's the beach parking lot that much different than the grocery store parking lot?
I guess
lot?
Maybe it's just like, I'm going to already be hot, so I don't want to get into a hot car. But now that I'm thinking about it, I should just be using one of these things all the time. Why not?
Yeah. All right. What was your follow-up? I think when you need to.
Okay. My follow-up question is, what's the worst that could happen if you just never, ever washed your car?
Nothing.
Right?
See, here's the thing. Some people take pride. Like, you ever, you and I, we're city folk.
Right. Well, me and you.
We're gritty.
Neither of us have ever had like a nice car. We've had like decent cars, but not like, ooh, that car is nice.
I don't want to. First of all, we shouldn't have nice cars because we have to park it on the street sometimes like a quarter mile away from our homes. Sometimes we forget where we park our cars.
Yeah, I almost, when I bought this car, I was like, for a minute, thinking like, oh, should I lease a car? And then I was like, no, they're gonna charge me like $10,000 when I bring this thing back.
Yeah. You know, you don't want it to be any kind of a target for thieves or like just rapscallions that are, you know, ooh, look at this nice car, let me kick the
piss on it.
Yeah. I mean, people piss on my car numerous
times.
Somebody
almost pissed on me the other day.
Really?
I was coming outside and there was a guy pissing.
Man,
it's like, hey, watch it.
Cesspool. What are we doing here?
I mean, it really was a moment of where I wanted to be like, could you not piss on my home? Please. I live in this building.
So we rarely drive somewhere where like we can't, like we have to be afforded dignity when we like, but like it sucks when you pull up to like, you go back to our hometown and
when
there's
you
a
go back
family
to the
party.
Suburbs, everybody's got, you know, the cars are squeaky clean.
Yeah, and then you come with some filthy car that some guy pissed on like not 45 minutes earlier. Smells like piss.
Yeah.
And I feel like it needs to be clean for those situations.
Right.
So, but other than that, if you're just
so
driving
it's just
around
a presentation
the city,
thing. It's not like a like the car won't run right if you don't
paint job. I think it's kind of like,
I mean, I get that cleaning anything is better than not cleaning it.
Right.
That eventually thing, if you don't clean something, eventually it's going to go to shit. But what I'm saying is like with a car, I don't know how, you know, how long does the average person keep a car? Maybe 10 years?
Probably. Maybe.
maybe not even that long.
That's true.
It's not gonna happen
these
that,
days, yeah,
that quickly.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a matter of should you not do something because it won't cause something catastrophic to happen.
Yeah.
By that logic, it's like, yeah, you could probably go to the doctor once every 5 to 7 years. Odds are.
No, but that's you're making the opposite point, Tim, because what I'm saying, because then you're saying like, oh, if you wait that long, something bad could have happened. And
no,
it wasn't
what I'm
picked
saying
up
is
on.
The odds are something bad won't happen in this.
But I think the
just
odds
regular
are
maintenance. Tom, this goes back to our conversation earlier. Just do the bare minimum and things get a lot easier.
But what's the bare minimum?
Once a week.
Once a week?
Once a day. It depends on
how often do you wash your car?
My wife brings it almost once a week.
Really? So she brings it to a car wash just for to be washed.
You're like, oh, is she in a bikini? out of the
no,
street?
Obviously she's not in a bikini.
Stay away from my wife.
Because she's the one bringing it to the car wash. Presumably the car wash, they're all in bikinis.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we live near the bikini car wash.
Must be nice. Tim, this week we're discussing MLMs, multi-level marketing.
Schemes, Tom.
Well, they're not always
schemes. In like the British way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, scheme just means a thing.
A legal thing. I've had conversations with British people where I've gotten so confused because they're like, oh, my friend's working on a scheme. And I'm like, all right, keep your voice down.
You know what? I had a conversation with people in London one time, mm-hmm, who were talking about fancy dress. And they were like, oh, this person went to a wedding in fancy dress.
It's like, oh, well, that like, sounds...
I think that... And yeah. So I was like, I guess they mean like fancy, like black tie.
Like, too fancy?
Yeah. And so I was like, I think it's nice to go to go in fancy dress.
You can really overdress for a wedding.
And it was like a 20-minute conversation of us just
a comedy of errors.
Yeah. It just wasn't funny enough to sustain for 20 minutes. And then I really felt like an asshole when they were just like,
dressed as Frankenstein.
Yeah.
You're like, well, Frankenstein wears a suit, wears a coat and tie. Why did Frankenstein wear a coat and tie?
Now, Dr. Frankenstein,
yeah,
put the man together from dead body parts. Did he get like the whole torso and like arms from like one guy? Because maybe it was just a guy who was buried in a suit.
Makes sense. I mean, yeah, it might have just been like what clothes he had around. I guess back in Frankenstein times, there weren't like t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah,
so it's probably like, well, when in Rome.
What would Frankenstein
to blend in.
What would they dress Frankenstein in now?
Tim, they'd probably baggy pants are back.
Are they?
They're back.
Damn it, I just bought new pants.
Damn it, I just threw out all my old baggy pants. Frankenstein would probably wear some of that stuff.
Yeah. All right. But we're talking about MLMs.
We're talking about MLMs. Multi-level marketing. Tim, do you know what an MLM is?
Tom, it's a glorified pyramid scheme. Are you worried that we're going to get sued if we mention certain specific companies?
No, let's say. Let's say this whole podcast is fictional.
Yeah. I mean, who cares?
Well, I mean, I would care if I got sued.
Yeah.
But do you know what the difference between? So I looked up like what multi-level marketing is, what a pyramid scheme is, and what a Ponzi scheme is.
Okay. Well, MLMs, those are, it's just the structure where they recruit people to sell the product, but they also encourage those people to recruit other people into it, down line from them to also sell the product. Right?
Yeah.
Is that what determines if it's an MLM?
Yeah. So a pyramid scheme is I recruit you and two other and like one other person. And I'm like, both of you, you have to buy in. Well, actually, no, I don't know how they really get started. I know, actually, but it would be like, oh, this
you're already in it. You're already in it. The starting. You're not the guy who started.
I'm at the level one. And I say, Tim, if you give 100, I'm going to get you and one other guy, both of you,
AJ.
But you and AJ
would never do it. Paul,
you and Paul, you're both going to give $100, but get this. You're eventually going to get $800.
Right.
And the way you're going to do that is by recruiting two other people and then having them recruit two other people and then them recruit two other people. And now there's eight people there and that $100 all goes to you. And then you say like, great, I did it. Goodbye. You leave. Everybody moves up.
That's a pyramid scheme.
That's a pyramid scheme.
I participated in a baseball card pyramid scheme.
I did as well.
As a child.
Yeah. Where it was like, you get a letter from a friend, usually with a baseball card or two already in it.
Yeah, to kind of
grease the wheels.
Yeah.
And then it says, here's an address. You have to send like two packs of baseball cards to this address. And then you have to send this letter to two people. Right. And then eventually you're going to get like 10,000 packs of baseball cards sent
to you. How did that work out for you?
I don't think I even tried. I think I cut my losses at like getting a few free baseball cards in the mail.
You didn't participate?
I didn't recruit or anything like that. No.
I participated. And what happened was I got a few envelopes.
Mm-hmm.
Either my mail carrier was stealing the baseball cards out of it because I got empty envelopes that were like ripped on the side.
Oh, yeah.
Or the structural integrity of the envelopes were such that
they're not really built to carry a pack of baseball cards.
The other thing that annoyed me about this baseball card pyramid scheme as a child was that it didn't specify what brand of packs
you know if
you're
getting Tops or Fleer or.
You know, why would I go out and buy Upper Deck or Stadium Club even?
Yeah.
And send that to somebody when I might just get freaking Tops or worse, Donruss.
Oh, God, I forgot about Donruss. Oh, boy.
Right?
Yeah. It's weird that there were levels of baseball card companies.
They're not anymore.
No, because you know, like Tops bought them all, right?
Exclusively Tops. And I think.
Which also makes sense. It's like, how many baseball card companies could there possibly be?
There were a lot in 1994, yeah. Tom. I think I saw a headline that Topps lost the MLB account. Like,
oh, really?
Starting in a couple of years or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Look,
Topps is real into NFTs now.
Yeah. Never find toys.
Never find Topps.
NFTs.
Never forget Tops.
No, MLMs. Okay, so that was
not
pyramid.
NFTs, MLMs. Yeah, that's a pyramid scheme. Now, the difference, before I get to MLMs, let me tell you what a Ponzi scheme is and how it's different from a pyramid scheme. And, Charles Ponzi was the guy. This was probably not the first person that came up with this brilliant idea, but the one that popularized it. Mm-hmm. And then most recently, Bernie Madoff.
Hey, Bernie Madoff with a lot of money, right?
Tim, you should write newspaper headlines. I didn't see any that said that, and that's a great idea for a headline.
It's a little too good. And also, it
save it for a book about Bernie Madoff.
Also, I think it paints him in a favorable light.
That he,
and he didn't make off with it. He got caught.
He got caught and then he had to die in jail, which is, for anybody keeping score, the worst way to die is in jail.
I knew I was in the same room as a friend of Bernie Madoff's.
All right.
Right around the time that was happening.
Right around the time he died or the
No, right around the time he got caught and the whole house of cards came down. And this guy was just trying to convince everybody that we should feel bad for Bernie Madoff. Like, he's really sad about it now. Oh, but you guys have to understand, he's sad. He has to go to jail now.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel much sympathy.
Did
for
that
him.
Guy think nobody else who went to jail felt sad about it?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we should let him go.
Yeah, everybody else that's in jail, they wanted to be there. Yeah. But this guy, he wishes he weren't there.
Yeah. He didn't want to go to jail.
So a Ponzi scheme is you start out, you get a bunch of investors. And, you know, in Bernie Madoff's case, I think he was like running, you know, supposedly running like a hedge fund, right? Like he was investing the money in the stock market, but he was brilliant and doing very smart things with the money. But what you do is you just keep recruiting and you get those people to keep recruiting. Now, all in a Ponzi scheme, for the most part, nobody's in on it except for the top guy.
Right.
Or maybe a layer below.
Right.
And they're getting people.
Yeah,
to
I remember they were like, this lady had no idea. Like, yeah. That lady, what was she doing all day then?
Oh, that like worked for or his wife or something?
Yeah. She was the one like, she was like an accountant for them or something.
Yeah,
like,
well, that's nonsense then. Throw her in jail too.
I think they did.
Okay, good.
She was happy about it though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She was like, I've mean to go to jail.
I mean, I've heard a lot about jail. It's it's high time I try it out for myself.
So a Ponzi scheme is you're recruiting people, you're getting other people to recruit people, and then you're giving some of the money from the new recruits to the people at the top. And at the same time, potentially telling other people like, look, you know, Tim was the first guy I got in on this. And here's a check I'm giving him for $100 million because that's how well this works. And it's going to work just as well for you guys. And meanwhile, it's like that $100 million came from, you know, $500 million from the people below you. Right. I took $400 million, gave you $100 million.
And also the key there is to not have people withdraw their money.
Yeah, either. That's you when it falls apart.
Convince them to reinvest. So you just make fraudulent statements there and be like, look at the return on this. You made 150% on your money.
If you take it out now, you're gonna lose that return and it's locked in a frozen account, right?
You'd be very good at this, Tom.
So that's how a Ponzi. I mean, I think like the big difference is like a Ponzi scheme is like an out and out scam where it's like, I don't understand what you think the exit strategy is aside from telling everyone like, oh, all the investments turn south and all your money's gone now.
It's wild. That would running a Ponzi scheme would be the most anxiety inducing thing.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's literally just a web of lies.
Yeah, you're lying to like so many people.
How do you not go to bed every night being like, is tomorrow the day it all catches up with me? I bet it's tomorrow.
Well, there have been some successful Ponzi exits or MLM exits, which we'll talk about. But an MLM is basically the way around because a Ponzi scheme and a pyramid scheme are illegal. They are against the law in the United States. But the way the MLMs get around is they say, no, we're recruiting people to sell products. So the most famous MLMs in America are Amway, Avon,
right,
and Herbalife. Yeah, yes. those are the most well known MLMs, and to their credit, they're the MLMs that like kind of got too big to fail. Like they became so big that it's like
they roped in so many of your college classmates or your high school classmates.
Yeah. And they've just been around for so long. I mean, I think in Avon's case, like they do have, I mean, I don't know, but I think they have like decent products.
They get those pink cars too, right?
I don't think they give them the pink Corvettes or Cadillacs anymore. Tupperware. is an MLM.
Right.
But again, it's like, I don't know, Tupperware, everybody has Tupperware. Like, it is nice.
It's weird that, am I mistaken that for a time, the only way that you could get a Tupperware-like product was through the MLM Tupperware parties?
Yeah.
Where it's like, it seemed like it took a really long time for other companies to be like, hey, we should
make that.
Just make it and sell it in a store like a normal person.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of like Girl Scout cookies. Like, Girl Scout cookies aren't an MLM, but the only way to get them is through a Girl Scout.
Do you ever go to the store sometimes and see the knockoff Girl Scout cookies?
Oh, no, like, oh, I haven't.
Come on, what are you doing here?
You're taking money out of these girls' hands.
I don't know where that money goes to. What is Big Girl Scout doing with
badges,
our money?
Badges, probably. Yeah.
Sashes
to put the badges on. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing with the money. I don't know what Girl Scouts do except
crafts, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with Boy Scouts where it's like they camp, but like they don't camp that often. I think it's just like a we're going to teach you skills and how to be like a nice person. And like with like, you know, like some religious undertones too, some Christian undertones.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tupperware is, you know, something you don't think of as an MLM anymore. And I don't know if they still are. I don't know if they still do like Tupperware parties and all that stuff. But like
they do, but it means something else these days.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Tim, can you guess how many people lose money in MLMs?
Tom, I'm going to say it's pretty high. 50%?
Oh, it's higher than that, Tim.
Are you saying that it's maybe 60% of people lose money?
Tim, I'm not going to go back and forth with you. It's 99.9%.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, well, I did find a differing opinion that said only 99.25%.
That's what I've heard as well.
Do you know?
But like the people who do make money, make an insignificant amount of money, except for the ones at the very, very top.
Right, yeah.
So that might be like that point. Oh, or that 0.1% are the ones that make like a livable amount of money rather
Yeah, often Well, before I say this, let me ask, do you know how many people lose money in Las Vegas?
Ooh. Out of everybody that
percentage goes... wise, yeah. What percentage lose money?
I'd say like 80% probably.
97.14%.
Wow. See, now, but I hear these, Tom, and I'm just like,
but I got a hot hand.
That's what I feel. I was like, this is how my brain. I'm like, well, I got to see if I could. Yeah, I think this will probably work for me, though.
Yeah, I mean, what you're describing is like what causes like 90% of the problems in the world right now. People knowing things intellectually, but being like, but I bet not for me.
Different for old Timmy.
Yeah. So at best, a very, very small success rate. So, for example, Avon has a 0.3% success rate.
And success is defined by making not money. Losing money.
Yeah, not losing money. I think maybe not breaking even, but like if you make a dollar, that's considered success.
Exactly. And all of these companies,
mm-hmm.
they're selling you financial independence.
Yes.
Your own boss.
I was going to bring
and even if you don't lose money, you're likely not going to make enough money to support any kind of lifestyle.
No. So 0.3%. Of Avon reps make money. Out of that 0.3%, 95% of those people make around $500 a year. You're like, oh, 500. Hey, who couldn't use an extra 500? But the thing is, I mean, and I bet even Avon, I bet if you brought this to them, they would be like, yeah, who would say no to an extra $500? It's like those people probably worked 80-hour weeks to make $500.
Hard enough, Tom.
Well,
that's
also what they say. You brought up a good point that's kind of the other telltale sign of an MLM is that they use a lot of terms like financial independence, own your own business, change your lifestyle, you know, quit that 9-to-5 grind and work, you know, like a few minutes a day and make 10 times as much money.
I watched that show with Kiki in it, Tom.
What show with Kiki are you talking about?
How to Be a God in...
Oh, Kiki, of course, friend of the show, Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah. Sweet girl.
Brother of Dunstan checks in?
Yeah.
The monkey?
Cousin.
Kiki, I haven't seen that show.
Oh, it was good.
But I watched Lula Rich, which I think is on Hulu? Maybe Netflix? Amazon Prime. This happened literally every night we watched it, too. Where it was like, what is this show on?
Amazon Prime is the one that I don't have.
Yeah. It's the one you can by far live without.
Yeah.
And a perfect example is that even when they have a good show, it you can't find it, or like it wasn't, you know, even when I'd launch the app, I'd be like, no, it's not here. Because, you know, anything else, it's like, oh, you're watching this. Here's the next one. Please don't go to a different app. Press just one button and you can just keep consuming our content. But
hold on. On Becoming a God in Central Florida.
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
But that's not what you're talking about.
No. Are you aware of LuLaRoe?
Only because I've heard the scuttlebutt about this documentary.
Yeah. So it's, you know, a very similar, very basic MLM that originally was around leggings, but now is around like all types of women's clothes.
Mm-hmm. So like dresses, blouses, high heels.
I don't think they do shoes and undergarments.
Elaborate hats with like birds on them.
No, and actually, like, in the beginning, it was, you know, it seemed like it was just very, I don't know, not loose, but, like, we do one thing with leggings, and they have, like, you know, a lot
of... Well, the leggings weren't loose.
A lot, no, they were very tight, apparently. But like a lot of different styles, and like the styles are like limited. Like we do one run per style and then that's it. But there, it was interesting because their external marketing was very different from their, like, once you're in it marketing. And the external marketing was very much like, hey, start a business, sell LuLaRoe. You can, you know, sell it out of your house. It's easy to sell. It's good stuff. It's nice. And you make a few hundred extra bucks a month. And, you know, they recruited a lot of moms that were
stay-at-home moms,
not even necessarily stay-at-home moms, but just moms that are, you know, are like, you know, pinching every penny, stretching every dollar to like make everything work. And then
the baby food is so expensive, Tom.
Well, not only baby food, Tim, college is expensive nowadays. Yeah. And they would then
what are they called? Overalls.
Yep, overalls. I've heard that prices of overalls have gone up dramatically.
Well, the thing is,
there's a chip shortage and an overall shortage.
Yeah, the kids also, they grow at
you
such a rate.
You just loosen up the overalls.
You can't do that anymore. They only make the straps in one size.
Oh,
not,
that's how they get you.
Oshkosh Bagosh can't
Yeah, because they were like, we're not going to sell you a pair of overalls when you're three and have you wearing them for the rest of your life. No. Never buy another pair of Oshkosh Bagosh.
Take off the little
Button things.
No, what are those called?
I don't know, straps.
Hinges? What makes it? What's the thing that you can make the strap
like,
longer?
Oh, I don't know. Like a clasp, a metal part, something like that.
Well, they got rid of those, Tom, and that's why the moms are so stretched.
They're sized to fit, and that's it.
Yeah.
You have to get them tailored if you grow bigger. They promoted themselves externally to these types of moms and you know, with the premise of how would you like to make a few extra $100 a month? But once they got people in with that, all the marketing was like, you can become a millionaire. Mm. You can become financially independent. One of their big things was you can retire your husband. Your husband, you know, he works his job or whatever. He's the breadwinner. Guess what? You can make so much money that you can force him to retire.
I would like somebody to retire me.
I would like somebody to force me to retire.
Wait, do they say retire your husband? Because that sounds like some sort of murder plot.
Yeah, like a euphemism for murder.
Yeah.
Like put
we'll
him to sleep
your
for good.
For you. Wink.
No, but. And it was more like your business is going to grow so fast and so successful that
your husband is going to feel like such a piece of crap.
Well,
he's not going to want to get out of bed in the morning.
You're going to teach him once and for all. No, but kind of, because it was kind of like you'll get to the point where it will make more sense for your husband to quit his job and work for you than to keep working, you know, at whatever he does.
It's a power thing.
A little bit of a power thing. And
like
yeah.
The way that you work for me.
I don't, Tim, I'd rather slit my throat than work for you. I'll never work for you.
Here's the knife.
So they would start with just very, and maybe this is why Tupperware, like, I don't know, didn't fall through and to a lesser extent Avon, although apparently Avon's doing like very badly right now.
How's Amway doing? I worry about that DeVos family. I want to make sure they have
Amway's
enough.
Still trucking Phew. Along.
Oh, thank God.
Right. And that I really don't understand either, because that's the thing with all these pyramid schemes and Ponzi schemes and MLMs that like, you very quickly get to, well, you would have to recruit more people than exist on Earth for this to work. But LuLaRoe's thing was very quickly became, you can be very, very rich by doing this. Mm. So people overextended themselves. And people, you know, went all in on this. And then LuLaRoe apparently like started cutting corners on like the quality of their stuff. And because they were growing so fast, they were keeping their inventory, which remember is clothes, outside the warehouse because they didn't have room where it would get rained on and then just ship it out to people like that. So it would be like mildewy when it would show up. It seemed like it was pretty bad.
I feel like the culture right now is primed for MLMs to thrive. Oh,
I couldn't believe when I was like looking up, you know, like, oh, what are some current day MLMs? Like a mind-boggling amount of MLMs
because
exist right
that
now.
Bullshit, like hustle culture. Yes. Of like, hey, you will be a millionaire. All you have to do is live in poverty and work 100 hours a week, but yes, you're working for yourself.
And
we're not telling you when to go to an office or a warehouse.
And if you don't have the money, put yourself in debt.
Yeah.
Take out credit cards to buy inventory.
It's called hustling.
Well, and it's called investing in yourself, yeah, and you're going to make that money back tenfold, and you're going to be, you know, I mean, and that permeates all culture in America. Like, why do me and you both know that Kevin Smith put Clerks on credit cards?
Yeah.
And how,
well, because we're both Smith heads.
And how many,
we're well versed in the view askew
no,
universe.
No, because
so
people like to hear that story.
Yeah.
Whereas, well, for every Kevin Smith, there's probably literally like 10,000 filmmakers that we're also like, I'll just put everything on a credit card.
It's the same way that every like 70-year-old billionaire is like, yeah, you know, I was poor. And it's like, yeah, you were poor for the, like 8 months when you were 21.
Yeah.
And you weren't poor. You could have gotten money from somewhere. You were, yeah, yeah. You know, you didn't have a lot of money.
I had no point. And in Kevin Smith's defense, like he's not putting that story out there telling other people you should do this, you know. But
especially now, if you spent like what $40,000 and got something that looks like Clerks in 2021, you're not a good filmmaker.
Yeah,
people
would be like, "What? Why didn't you just shoot this on your phone, you idiot?" It would look much better. I didn't realize this about Avon, and I think there's another reason why Avon's like, it's weird. I don't know what Amway's deal is, but Avon is like, they seem like they're very good at like not flying too close to the sun to like attract too much attention. Hmm. So Avon's big thing is like to get started, it's only $25.
See, and to me, this seems reasonable. All right, tell me more.
And for $25, you get like one pair of one thing of lipstick, I guess, just for like you to try.
All right, hey.
And then like, you know, some brochures and some marketing material.
To try lipstick one time,
and a way, and like you're in though. You can sell. You can start.
Right.
You can start taking orders. You can start selling products. So I think that's how they get so many people
when
in.
When you can start selling products, I feel like this is the tell. You can't just sell something and be like, okay, I sold it at this prescribed markup, right?
Yeah,
where it's
yeah,
like, I sold something for $18. Now I'm gonna buy it from you after I've sold it for $12, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
You have to stock this stuff. They're gonna be,
yeah,
like,
you have to buy it ahead of time.
Yeah,
because in a
they're
lot of
only
cases
gonna sell it to you in bulk because they're just right. Like, well, there needs to be upside on my end too.
Yeah, they don't want to be shipping things individually.
Right.
And
also convenient for them tricking you into getting a bunch of inventory that you can't sell.
Yeah, so that's what LuLaRoe's thing was, that or is, it's still around, but they've changed it. It's interesting watching this documentary because it's like they hit a saturation point and like they've been very flexible in their business to make sure that they like don't go completely under. But at its like height, it costs $3,000 to get in. Right. And there was like, you know, like a 10-week waiting list. And in this documentary, they talk to people that like, you know, work the phones or whatever once somebody like finally got through the waiting list to recruit them. And they were like, you know, these people, to them, it was the most important phone call they'd ever received in their life. And it was being waiting 10 weeks to give us $3,000.
That's the genius of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The scarcity of like...
Yeah, just making people feel like they're lucky to be a part of the thing that's scamming them out of all of their money.
Yeah. So that's also another big part. And I was looking at this Avon recruitment where this was literally some of the ad copy. There's a line of the ad copy. And this was like, you know, like a slide or whatever. It wasn't just like, oh, this is buried in the ad copy. Join our community and never feel alone again.
People like to belong.
I know, but it's like preying on.
It's part religion, right? They're using tricks of like religious,
yeah,
and cult recruitment.
Oh yeah, I mean that's the thing. Like the most successful MLMs heavily borrow cult tactics, and one of them, like you were talking about, hustle culture, is that if it's not working for somebody. Well, that's your fault. You're not working hard enough.
Right. Look at this guy.
Yeah, look at this guy. Yeah. He makes seven figures a year selling this. Yeah. And this is what he does. What are you doing? Oh, you're not even doing half of what he or she does. You need to be working harder.
Tom,
that's what cults do if it's like, I haven't seen any of the benefits. Well, you're not taking enough classes.
Right. I think this is another thing I've thought, Tom, for real. I think there are positive things to take. I think I would be able to take the positive things from Scientology and not get roped into like buying more stuff.
But the positive things are just shit they lifted wholesale from like existing self-help books and religions.
Yeah, but I think it would give it a structure that would that would help me integrate it into my life.
I'll lend you Dianetics, Tim, if you want to start working your way through it.
I don't need to be recruited. Like, I'll sign up.
Hey, I'm not trying to recruit you. Just offering to lend a friend a book.
So Amway.
Yeah. What about Amway? Tim, what don't they sell? I don't know what they sell. I think they sell a little bit of everything. I don't know if you can like...
I'm looking at an iPad right now that is not connected to the internet. So I have one web page open on it.
Well, so a lot of times these places sell... I'm going to go to Amway.com while I'm talking here. They sell... Well, so I mean, again, this is a tell. Like the headline of the Amway website is start your own business. Not like, hey, welcome to our website. Yeah. Here's our products.
One thing, Tom, I Googled Amway scam, and the first thing that came up was an FAQ on Amway.com, and the question was, is Amway a scam? And the answer was, no! Amway's not a scam!
No! With an exclamation point. Amway, it looks like, sells nutrition, beauty, personal care, and home products.
They do it all. Home products, that's like...
Television...
cleaners and stuff.
Now, I remember as a kid though, like going to places with like my mom, and it's like, oh, there's a home store. I'd be like, oh, then they've got video games and you know, like DVDs and books, all kinds of stuff. No, they didn't have any of that shit. It's all like pulpery.
So it's safe to say that if you see Amway products in use in somebody's home, they've been roped in. Because it's not like there's never an instance where it's like, no, I just bought these products off my friend. They seem pretty cool.
Well, I think sometimes there might be an instance of like, sure, I got roped in. I'll buy some of this stuff from you. That's the other thing. Like all these MLMs, it's like almost not always, but almost always things like that, things where it's like shit you could buy at any store is what they sell. It's not anything that unique. LuLaRoe, it seemed like maybe in the beginning their products were different in some way people liked, but that went away. I mean, Amway, like we said, Avon sells makeup, and it's like, well, there's a million companies that sell makeup, and it's all stuff that's like, you're going to have to like purchase again.
Yeah. But I also feel like in the past, they at least tried to find products that people would use. Like, I know that Avon, I know that Avon at least used to make quality
products.
I don't know that. I don't know anything about makeup, but I think they did. And like Tupperware, we used Tupperware in my house. It was great. We kept our leftover food in it, Tom.
Yes, that's mostly what they marketed for.
Except on that episode of Erie, Indiana, where the family slept in the Tupperware.
Yeah.
Scared the hell out of me. But like, I think the innovation for these things are just like, nah, we'll just make the products real shitty and we'll leave them out in the rain. And guess what? People will still sign up for this. Or Herbalife, which is just what?
It's just like supplements and vitamins. Yeah. Like shit you could buy from
literally any CVS
pharmacy
what's
the place I'm thinking of, the vitamin store,
GNC.
Yeah, GNC.
I think you could, yeah, and they're like, and I think, cheap vitamins.
Yeah, I was
too,
gonna
right?
say, like, I think maybe Avon's thing in the beginning might have been that they might have been cheaper too. It might have been like, oh, you can avoid the retail markup by buying it, you know, through Avon. But now all the products are garbage, it seems like, from pretty much all these companies.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because it's like, you guys are selling garbage products at a tremendous markup, and that's still not the way you get most of your money.
Because nobody actually these people just wind up with boxes and boxes of inventory. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the problem with MLMs.
And then they have to recruit more people to be downline from them, so they can at least get the money to cover. Like, it eventually turns into panic, find people that you can rope it. You realize it's a scam, and then you panic and try to rope people in. I used to see it on Facebook where it'd be like, I'm really working for my, like, if this was really working out for you,
you wouldn't be trying to sell to somebody you went to high school with.
And you wouldn't like be trying to be like, hey, anyone who like I met 15 years ago, you should join this organization with me. Please come. Yeah. It's great. It'll change your life.
Yeah. I mean, that's always the craziest. I mean, that.
I have a job that I like, and I'm not like, Tom, please, please come work at my office. Can you please come work at my office every day?
Yeah. I mean, that's always the wildest thing. The biggest red flag for anything should be if somebody's trying really hard to recruit you, or it's like, well, if you recruit me, then I'm going to be selling the same shit a block away from you. Yeah. Won't that eat into your profit? Don't you want nobody to know? Like, anyone that actually stumbles on, anybody smart who actually like stumbles on a good business and like makes a bunch of money very quickly, keeps that shit to themselves. You do not telegraph that. You don't tell people. You just keep, oh yeah, things are going well. Things are going pretty good right now. But you don't, if you know.
Would you like to come directly compete with me?
Yeah. Tim, if you started like making boats or something, you're like, Tom, I had no idea boats cost so much money, and I was so good at making them, and they're so easy to make. I made $5 million this year. You should start making boats too. You'd be like, no, I'm not telling anybody how much money I can make.
Wouldn't be any good at making boats.
You wouldn't be any. That's why I pose it as such a farcical idea that you would be any good at making boats.
I could make.
You can make anything seaworthy, not even lake worthy.
Ooh, I'm taking this as a challenge, Tom.
Well, Tim, If you're taking it as a challenge, I think really you should.
That's it. Boat off.
You should join this company I've been working for that makes boats. I didn't realize that one of the ways Avon makes a lot of money is that they charge their reps for brochures that then the reps use to, like, you know, oh, here's the new Avon
their marketing materials,
brochure or catalog. Yeah. And at least I'm not sure how recent this info is. I think it's maybe like a few years old. The brochures change every 3 weeks. So you can't hold on to old brochures. You've always got to be buying new brochures.
Wow. That's pretty brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the people running these things aren't dumb. The people falling for them aren't necessarily dumb either. Like, because they figure out all these little ways to convince you, you know, they often get desperate people who want to make a lot of money very quickly.
I don't even think people need to be desperate. It's like you're saying, they brought them in, yeah, just being like, hey, make
a few extra bucks.
It's a side hustle, yeah, right? And it's like, okay, cool. And then, like, that creep where, yeah, suddenly you're in too deep, mm-hmm, and you're just like, oh shit,
they,
like,
in too deep creep.
Exactly. And then it's like, oh, these guys scammed me. All right, I gotta get out of this. Well, and then, like, that actually, like, kind of turns you desperate because you've been scammed.
Yeah, and now you're sitting on inventory.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you've already sunk your money. So that's another big part of it is conferences and seminars. And actually watching this LuLaRoe, they were showing, like, some of the conferences. And the one they had, like, Kelly Clarkson perform.
You are a big fan of Kelly Clarkson.
I'm not. No, I mean,
you were when she
first came out. I liked her. Yeah,
yeah. You were.
I mean, since you've been gone, that's a banger. That's an all time banger.
That's entered the, like, all right, do we ever need to hear this song again, though?
Yeah, it's true. But it was funny to me because, like, they were talking to somebody in this documentary and they were so mad at Kelly Clarkson. They were like, I used to be a very big Kelly Clarkson fan. I will never listen to her music again because she was a part of this. And I'm watching this thing and, like, you know what Kelly Clarkson did? She got paid up front to perform at this thing.
Yeah, but she's lending her, like, that lends authenticity to,
oh, absolutely, you know, like, but
oh, if Kelly Clarkson, a mainstream pop songstress,
I don't know, I think you have to be dumb to, like, think, oh, surely she's vetted this company.
I mean, I think my favorite musical artists, mm-hmm, would have the integrity not to perform at recruitment events for scam companies.
Yeah, but Kelly Clarkson's not one of your favorite artists.
She's one of yours, though, Tom.
She's not one of my favorites.
I mean, if it was 2005, what would we be talking about all the time? Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson.
I think Kelly Clarkson probably did as much research, which was like, oh, they get the $1 million check cleared.
Yeah, but, like, do you think same thing of the pop stars who, like, perform for the murderous Saudi princes.
Yeah, good for them. Whatever. Bleed them dry.
Dude, they're not going to bleed them dry for like $1 million for one night.
Well, what was it? Who did Elton John perform at their wedding?
Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh's wedding. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of give music.
Yeah, I get the, like, hey, take their money. Like,
well, not even that. I get, in Kelly Clarkson's case, I mean, Rush Limbaugh with Elton John, fuck you, Elton John. You got enough money. You don't need to do that shit. This is, but Kelly Clarkson, I'm sure it was presented to her as not one. I'm sure they weren't like, so, we're running a multi-level marketing scheme and here's, you know, this is going to recruit people. I'm sure it was just like, oh, there's like a women's business symposium.
Right, but you have to. You can't just be hoodwinked by
every.
But she
wasn't like, "This is great." She just performed for it.
I know, but you're lending your brand to this.
I don't think anybody was at this concert during this conference that wasn't already 100% bought in.
I bring no.
What?
I accuse Kelly Clarkson of being complicit.
Wow. Yeah, you were afraid. You don't want to bring the wrath of Kelly Clarkson down on you.
Have you seen her talk show? You probably watch every episode. You're a super fan.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen her. I've maybe seen like a clip.
I can't remember, but I might have seen
a clip. No, I think I've seen a clip, but I mean, it's like a very basic daytime. Like, she's not breaking the mold, right?
She is breaking the mold, Tom. How you know so? What she does?
She recruits people to sell.
Opens the show with a cover song every day. Oh, it just starts and the band starts rocking out. And then she comes and sings. You know, it's not the whole thing. I think she played Times Like These at one point.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson covering the Foo Fighters.
News Fighters.
We got to go back. We got to go back to the top of the show.
We got to start the whole show over.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, that's better than like a monologue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd rather Kelly Clarkson sing me a song than be like, hey, did you see this on the news?
I'd like to see
it. Yeah, I'd like to see it at least once. But the conferences and the seminars, very, very, very cult-like for a lot of these things. And also, like, you know,
if Kelly Clarkson played a Scientology benefit,
yeah,
would you be like, hey, Kelly, come on. What
are
you doing?
I guess
here?
I would.
Yeah. So,
I think this man shouldn't deprive himself of Kelly Clarkson's music if that's what he enjoys. Separate the art from the artist.
Yeah.
And in this case, the artist was like, just trying to get a buck for herself.
She's got enough bucks.
You can always have more bucks.
Syndicated talk show, Tom.
She can always have more. She didn't have it at this time, I don't think. Mm. But there's like a very big cult element.
Yeah.
To like. And these are the same conferences where they bring up the people that, you know, are their top sellers. And they're like, look at this person. And
they should just hire actors to do that. So nobody has to make any money.
No, because the thing is, like, the people at the top are making $100,000 a year. But the people above them are making like $50 million a year. So they're like, no, I'll pay $100,000. That's fine. And the thing is, like, I'm going to pay this person $100,000. They're going to work 90-hour weeks. They're going to be really good at this. They're going to be way better at recruiting than I could have ever dreamed. Like, they're the people I want to keep, which is why I think also, you know, they bring them up on stage and, you know, have a, you know, 10,000 people applaud for them. And they're like, oh, wow. All right. Essential oils are also frequently an MLM thing.
Great. Yeah. I want to get into essential oils, Tom. I think they can cure everything.
Well, they are essential. Hey, if these oils are so essential, how come I've never heard of them before?
You've heard of them, Tom.
Name one essential oil. Olive. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com.
Took the words out of my mouth with olive, Tom.
Only oil you can. Baby and olive. Hey, patreon.com/complete guide.
Baby oil, you creep.
I don't have it, but
you know how they make that, right?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but patreon.com/complete guide books the podcast. This week we're starting off Crichton month, Michael Crichton month, that is, with the Andromeda strain.
Yeah,
I could have swore it would be Jurassic Park, but everybody surprised me.
And it's because you spoke so confidently last week. I can put up the poll.
You know what?
I could just start reading Jurassic Park as soon as I put the poll
up. You know what that's called, Tim? Reverse psychology. You know who
you
learned that from?
You were negging everybody. The question mark guy with the peacocking?
No, Bugs Bunny. we got a live show coming up.
Yeah,
hey, we got a live one.
You might have heard a promo before the episode started today.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
Tickets on sale in New York City. Caveat.
It's in a week, pretty much. Wow. A little more than a week. It's October 5th, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern.
tcgt.com/live. You can get tickets for that or live stream tickets if you aren't able
come
to be in New York City.
If you can.
Yeah.
Or watch it on your computer. Computer.
And if you're a patron on Patreon, go back through go back a month or so in the post, and there are some discount
codes
for it.
We should repost it.
We'll repost it. Yeah. There are some discount codes for you. You can get a few bucks off. Take it right out of our mouths.
That's fine. We don't eat money.
Speak for yourself. Follow us on Instagram at TCGTE. Follow us on Twitter at Complete Guide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal, Tim.
Tim.
You did it. You did the thing.
Tim. Well, I saw a few different things here and I didn't know which one to cover first. First off, there's an MLM. I don't think it's around anymore because I was like, oh, I'll sign up for this one. Jerky Direct. It was a beef jerky thing. There are a few, and
I was hoping it'd be a Jerky Boys thing.
Get a new Jerky Boys cassette every month. There are a few. Well, I mentioned essential oils, but there are a few, and I'm like, man, this is where it's at as far as MLMs go, where it's cryptocurrency MLMs.
Oh God.
So you're getting scammed twice because it's like, we're going to sell you a worthless cryptocurrency, but you're going to pay us in real money. And then we're going to get you to do the hard work of recruiting other people to buy this worthless cryptocurrency. I don't have enough time to go into it, but there was an MLM scam called OneCoin, where the founder disappeared with, I believe, like over $1 billion.
Wow.
And they don't know where she is. Nobody knows where she is. So sometimes people do successfully exit these schemes. And ironically, she probably put all that money into cryptocurrency so nobody could track it and find her.
Right. A true hero, Tom.
A true hero of the scam world.
I think if Tupperware, well, no, I'm not gonna join Tupperware. I think I could do well with Herbalife.
What about Legal Shield, where you sell prepaid legal services?
Tom, did you get pulled to a seminar for that?
No, we had a friend in high school, college-ish, somewhere around there, who was roping people in to go to these seminars. And he would always pitch it as like, it's prepaid legal services. You pay like a monthly fee and you always have access to a lawyer in case you get pulled over for a DUI.
He's like, we don't drive drunk, though.
Yeah. And it's like, is that all you think lawyers do? Is that the only
thing? I mean, that was definitely how it was sold to this guy. And he was like, this sounds great.
Yeah.
My number one concern.
And like, if it weren't an MLM, something like legal insurance, I mean, I guess that exists, but it's expensive.
The lawyer on retainer.
Yeah, or a retainer. But like, it makes sense for like the average person that has like a low legal risk. If it's like, hey, you pay $20 a month and like you have somebody that you can like send documents to before you sign them.
Right.
And then if you do ever like get in trouble or you need to sue somebody, you've got a person there, but
well, we don't need to be brainstorming legal companies yet.
Well, I think we should, Tim. Because the only way you make money on one of these things is being in early and being on top. So we should do an MLM.
I know. Maybe we'll come up with one.
Maybe you've already heard an advertisement for one at the beginning of the show.
See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.